If you don't like the situation you're in, if you don't like what it is, do something about it. And if you choose not to do something about it, you can't complain to me anymore about it because mm-hmm. you already know what they're doing and you know what it is. If you change the toilet paper in the business, you need to tell the employees. What I'm saying is, if you make changes to the operation systemically, all of the management team need to be on the same page, because if somebody comes and asks a question, you can't be like, well, I don't know, go ask her, because you look crazy as a management team. So the management team, if anything, mm-hmm. should always know what the other managers are doing. So relationships or partnerships can go awry at times, and they don't really go the way that everything was, you thought they were going to be intended. But once you figure out what your core values are and whatever that organization's core values are, as long as you hold to your core values and they hold to theirs, there's some things you can bend on, right? So you can bend on a certain things where you can compromise on certain issues as far as pay, or you can compromise on management style. But then it comes to a point where there's no more compromise between the two groups. Hey everybody, it's Gerard Bullock here, and
Sarah. Hey everyone.
Hey, so we're here back to talk about some things that's going on in our week. So I'll just say this. It's been a year since I made a really big move from one thing that I was doing in life as far as career-wise into another type career, right? Mm-hmm. So, and pretty much what we want to talk about today is, and this kind of goes for everything that you kind of deal with, whether it be any kind of relationship, whether it be a partnership, business partnership, whether it be school, whether it be a job you're working for. I mean, it can apply to pretty much anything. And, you know, so kind of wanted to go into that, especially coming off of the 1 year anniversary of me making a huge change that's been for the benefit. But really what I want to say is really, once you figure out what you're doing in a, all right. So relationships or partnerships can go awry at times, and they don't really go the way that everything was, you thought they were going to be intended. But when it comes down to it, once you figure out what your core values are and whatever that organization's core values are, as long as you hold to your core values and they hold to theirs, there's some things you can bend on, right? So you can bend on a certain things where you can compromise on certain issues as far as pay, or you can compromise on management style. But then it comes to a point where there's no more compromise between the two groups. And really what I want to say is, like I said, once you get to that point, you have to decide on whether or not it's okay to move forward with the relationship, or you need to end it. And if you get to the point where you decide that you want to keep moving forward, then at that point, once you've identified that here's their core values that they're going to hold on to, and here are your core values, if you at that point decide to move forward, you're basically saying that whatever it is they're doing to you, or whatever it is you don't like, it's okay, and that you're going to move forward. Because I had a mentor tell me as I was going through this, and I'll tell you how I went down. So you guys know I was in a partnership, a real estate partnership. And the way that it works is, I've been managing big warehouse boxes or whatever since the days of 1997, right? And I've been doing things for a long time as far as I know how management works. I know how it doesn't work. I know that how I've come up, I've seen things, and I've seen things how they work well, they don't work well. I know how it works. Say however you want to say it. But so what I decided, what I figured out was, I thought that we were partners, right? But really, there's a difference between a partnership and you having an equity stake in a company or an organization, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened was, once I decided that the management style that was being, you know, was working, was not working for me. And I remember the day, right? It was a rainy day. And I basically talked to Sarah and was like, hey, I'm going to meet with these guys today. I can't take this anymore. And she told me, well, go ahead and talk to them. And I did. And what we did was we sat down and we talked. And what I asked them to do was I asked them that before they make any decisions to take a red marker. Right? Did I tell you this part before?
I don't remember the red marker. But
all right. I told them to take a red marker and on their bathroom mirror. I didn't tell you this? Okay. I said, look, I want you to take this marker and write on your mirror. I want you to say on the mirror, did I tell Gerard? Right? And what I mean by that is, as a management team, as a leadership team, however you want to call it, they would make decisions on what direction the company was going without telling the partners, right? So I was just saying, hey, look, were you brushing your teeth in the morning and you decided to change the world, you're going to do whatever you're going to do? Did I tell Gerard? Because the thing is I just didn't want to find out secondhand from the employees, from the other people, what happened. Because that was happening is, you know, as a leadership team, everybody. So here's the thing. You run your business. I don't care how you run your business. But what you need to do is, if you change the toilet paper in the business, you need to tell the employees. What I'm saying is, if you make changes to the operation systemically, all of the management team need to be on the same page. Because if somebody comes and asks a question, you can't be like, well, I don't know. Go ask her, because you look crazy as a management team. So the management team, if anything, should always know what the other managers are doing. Even if you come in and say, hey, look, this isn't up for debate. This is how we're doing it from now on. At least have the meeting. So that way, at least all the leadership and all the management are on the same page. Mm-hmm. That's part of being a team, is sometimes you get dealt stuff you don't want to deal with, but you walk out of that room, you fight about it in the room, and then you walk out the room and you hold your head up high and you go to the employees, because this is what we're doing as a team, right? Right, wrong, or indifferent. We can agree to disagree, but at the end of the day, when you walk out of the room, management is unified, this is what we're doing. What was happening was part of the management team would make decisions, and then 2, 3, 4 days later, I'd find out from another employee, I'm running the joint, that we're doing this from now on. And I'm like, man, how does this keep happening, right? It's embarrassing, because you can't be part of a management team if you're not being communicated to. That way you can communicate to everybody one time. So what I meant by the marker was I wanted him to write on the mirror while he's brushing his teeth in the morning, oh, man, we're getting ready to do the thing. Did I tell Gerard, right?
Right, and I don't think you meant that quite literally. It's just a figurative way of speaking to let them know that you felt like you were not being included, and whatever you got to do to make sure that you let us know.
I mean, yeah, okay, figuratively, but what I meant was that whatever it takes. If you got to write it on the mirror, write it on the freaking mirror. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying. So no, I didn't mean write it on the mirror, but what I was trying to say was, I was tired of not being included on discussions, right, wrong, or indifferent, because it's embarrassing when the employees find out before other managers. Mm-hmm. It's a sign of poor leadership. It just really is. So it was a great day. I walked in, I told Sarah, I was like, hey, look, you know, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to have a talk with them. She said, okay, great. So then I go in, I have a meeting. I have the meeting and I say, we're going to call him George, right? I said, George, hey man, look, I'm really tired of finding out stuff secondhand when things are decided. He said, you know what, Gerard, you're absolutely right. And we're going to do something about it. I'm like, oh, all right, okay, great. We're going to talk this out. And he basically said, I hired a consultant. I took your advice and I hired a consultant to help us manage this place. I was like, really? You hired a consultant to help you manage? Meanwhile, you know, I mean, I've consulted a few times in my life. I kind of know a little bit, but that's okay, right? You know, I'm not a consultant on the real estate side, whatever. You know, you want to hire a consultant, right? Go ahead and hire a consultant. But here's the thing. You remember that show, Bar Rescue?
Mm-hmm. One of our kids' favorite shows. I don't know why.
All right, so how does Bar Rescue work? Explain to me how Bar Rescue... You go ahead. Tell me how Bar Rescue works.
Basically, the guy goes into bars that are run down or losing business or about to shut down, and he kind of observes everything. Then he goes in there, talks to the owner.
The owner? And who else? Who else is in that room when he's talking to the owner?
The manager.
And who else? All the managers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
Okay. And then he shuts it down, restructures everything, brings new stuff in, and they open back up.
Okay. We're going to stop at the part where we're going to talk to the manager and all the other managers,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
They sit there, and it's kind of like a, I call it a come to Jesus meeting. That's hey, look, fun. Where I love this part because I used to do this. Any operation I walked into, get me all the management team in this joint at one time. I want everybody in the room. We're going to sit around this table, and we're going to figure this out right now. That's how I used to do it, right? Just like the dude. That's why I love that show, because that's how you do it. You bring everybody in, and they're all standing up. Ain't nobody sitting down. We're going to stand up, and we're going to look at the mess of whatever it is and say, all right, what are we going to, we're not, this dude be like, I'm not accepting it. You remember that guy yelling, right? Mm-hmm. So here's what happened. I said, oh, man, you hired a consultant? He said, yeah, man, to help me manage. I said, man, don't you, you're supposed to bring in the entire management team when you hire a consultant. He said, I did. Me and my wife met with him last week. I said, oh, the management team met with him last week? He was like, yeah. I said, okay, man, cool. I got you. I appreciate it. Well, man, you know, I'm not going to hold you up any longer. You have a great day. I walked out, called Sarah on the phone. Sarah said, how's your meeting? I said, my meeting was great. It was absolutely wonderful. And the reason why is at that point, I was told to my face that you are not part of the management team. Even though that's how it was set up, what I was being told was the management team was these two, and nobody else really was on the management team. So what I learned at that second, it was a great meeting, because at that point, I knew that there was zero chance anything that I would ever say or ever do would come across as a part of the management team, because I was not, even though I was a partner, was seen as a manager team. And this is my fault, because a lot of these things were happening over time that I just kind of ignored, like the red flags, right? And then, so what happened was at that point, I had a decision to make. And the decision was, I can either comply that I'm not going to be thought of as part of the management team, and that's okay, or I can leave. Because if I accepted at that point, I was saying that that was okay, right? I was acknowledging, I was basically, and then anytime after that, I tell people all the time, if you're in a situation that you like, whether it be our kids, mm-hmm. whether it be either one of our kids, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole school thing, right? Mm-hmm. Our kids with school. If you don't like the situation you're in, if you don't like what it is, do something about it. And if you choose not to do something about it, you can't complain to me anymore about it, because mm-hmm. you already know what they're doing and you know what it is. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you're just whining. Right. So I tell people all the time, and a good mentor of mine, we were at breakfast at the one hotel in Dumumbria Street, and I was whining to him, and he goes, well, didn't they just tell you like you're not included? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, then you're your victim, because you're doing like they told you what it is, and you're just laying there going, oh, man, you know, this sucks. You know, I can't do it no more. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, then do something about it. And I did. So that's how we got here. And I feel great. But here's what I'm saying, right? So just, that was a long story. But what I'm trying to say is, evaluate the situation that you're in, right? Whether it be business, whether it be a school, whether it be a job. If you, all right, here's another example, right? A job, right? And I had an employer, same thing. I wanted to work at this level, to this promotion or whatever. The organization has repeatedly told me that for whatever reason, they don't see me in that light. So I can go cry about it and complain and this and that, or I can just take my ball and go home. Because if you're not going to, so that's what I'm saying. If somebody's letting them know what it is, whether it be a relationship with a job, like I said, anything, if they're saying this is what it's going to be, and you choose to stay in that deal, then you're accepting the fact that what they're doing is okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So same thing with like employment, right? So if I'm going to stay here and you're going to make me work Sundays and I don't like working Sundays, and they say, hey, man, you're going to work every Sunday from now on. And I go home and go, oh, man, you know, this job is crazy, man. They got me working Sundays. I can't stand it. I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And you go clock in every other Sunday, right? You're accepting the fact that they're going to make you work Sunday. So shut up and work Sunday because that's what they told you you're going to do. Or quit and go find a job that ain't working Sunday. Don't complain about your situation if you're not going to do anything about it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Another example is Gerard. So,
yeah. Okay. All right. We'll talk about that. So, you know, he's been bouncing around. I mean, we got on these new shirts, right? And the thing is like he's been bouncing around and not bouncing around, but it's just even moving schools. The same thing. He was in a school last time, and no ill will. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, this is what we want you to do, and we really don't think much of you in this other light. So. This is what it is. So I remember we're sitting outside this door right here. We're sitting out here in the tub. And he was sitting at the table. He was like, I don't want to go to school there anymore. I'm like, why not? He's like, I don't want to graduate from there. I said, okay. Well, where do you want to graduate from? He's at Tennessee State University. I said, all right, we'll check. That's what we're going to do. He goes, well, I really want to play football. I was like, well, do you want to play football more or do you not want to graduate? What do you want more? Is it football or is it graduating from the school that you're at now? He's like, well, I really don't want to grad. I really want to play football, but I really don't want to graduate from that school. I said, which one do you want? Which one is paying you more going to school? All right, cool. We're transferring tomorrow. I don't want to hear about it. And we'll figure out the rest. And now we are. So here we are. So we're in a situation now where he's made a move and now he's going to play football at Tennessee State University. And I can't be happier for him because I don't care about what he plays and when he plays on stuff. But here's what I do care about. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he didn't want. And he did something about it because I don't want to hear about what they're doing or what they said or this or that. If they told you this is what it is and you choose to still stay in it, you are a victim. Mm-hmm. And we don't play victims around here.
Mm-mm.
Right?
No. Nope.
That's how it works. So, that was a lot, but yeah. So here's the deal: like, you'll feel better about it in the moment, and then you got to look out for warning signs, right? And once they start, what is it saying? Once somebody tells you who they are, believe them because that's who they are, right? You can't convince them of who they're not. You can't turn them into who they're not going to be. If this is what they're going to, and that's okay. I was talking to. Man, I was talking to somebody else today. We're talking about volleyball. And it was like, look, man, I don't like the way the organization is doing this, this, and this. And I was like, well, what do you want to do? He goes, well, I like doing it this way. I was like, okay, cool. If the organization is over here and you're over here and you say, all right, I'll bend on a little bit of this. And they said, I've been on a little of that. And then you get to this point where you're at a stalemate. They're not going to change. So you either have to change what your core values are, what you're going to do to comply what they want, or take your ball and go home. That's it. And that's okay. That's what people get all upset about this whole transfer portal thing. Most people who complain about the transfer portal don't have kids in school. There's no way. Oh, they need to be a man or they need to, you know, they're just running from competition. No, they're not. You quit your freaking job to go do whatever you want to do. You want to talk about these kids not being able to go to school where they want to go? Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll get tired of watching on Facebook the guy talking about, it's not right. These men need to stick it out. Meanwhile, dudes switch jobs 6 times, right? And that's okay, too. Like, that's the thing, too. Everybody gets upset about the generation that switches jobs or whatever. But really, what is it that if you can't, and that's another thing we talked about before too, you have to give your staff and employees everything that they need to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be, you agree on this and you agree on wage, you agree on times and stuff like that. And if they come across, I tell people all the time that work for me, if you come across a situation that's going to pay you more and give you more time to be with your family, and it's going to give you better benefits and have a better discount and have every single thing, better quality of life, and you don't take it because you want to stay with me, you're an idiot. Because I don't want you working for me anymore. Because you're not going to make smart business decisions, because basically you're turning down a situation. So what we do is, you get to a situation where you've grown out of what I can do or what we can do or the organization could do for you. You come to me and say, hey, man, I got this great opportunity. Here's all the things you're going to do for me. And here's what it is. You know what we're going to do? We're going to get you a cake, a balloon, maybe a gift card to Longhorn or something. And we're going to have a party and we're going to celebrate all the hard work you did for us and how great you were. And then we're going to wish you well and hope that maybe you'll come back and we'll cross paths again. And we're going to dap it up, and then that's it. Because that's it, right? We're not in this to, we're not like that family. Like we're here, we're doing business, right? And it's okay. And it's okay to not want to be, it's okay to grow from a situation that you're in and want to do something else. It's totally okay. I see a lot of these real estate brokers and a lot of these like businesses, when somebody wants to switch and leave, like, I can't believe they did this. I did all these things for me. I'm like, you didn't do nothing for them. You did what you wrote in that paper saying that you were agreed to do for them, and they said they were going to do for you. It's a contractual agreement. It's okay. Even with the football. Oh, man, that guy, he needs to stay here and retire here. Man, we're talking about millions of dollars. And you're talking about, so he needs to stay here and retire a friggin' Titan or retire. Man, please. You see what I'm saying? So, like, it doesn't matter. When it comes down to it, if it's not your blood, if it's not your family, you have to do what's right for them and what's right for you. And what where you go punch the clock every day, if it doesn't align with your family and what your other values are, it's okay. Right?
Definitely.
So, yeah, so that's all I got today. You got anything you want to add?
No, I mean, that was great right there.
Think so?
Think so.
All right, cool. Well, look, next time we'll probably wear some different shirts. No, we're going to have these shirts on again. No, we got plenty of kids, right? So we always try to represent. We want to shout out, you know, so pretty much, you know, how it went is we just wanted to say thanks to Tennessee State University for extending their arm to our child and just at least giving him the opportunity to compete, because that's all he asked
that's
for.
That's all he wanted.
All we asked for is the opportunity to freaking compete. And then at that point, it's on that dude, on our kids in general. Our job is to make sure that we set our family and our employees up for success, give them the opportunity to compete, and then they got to take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
So...
definitely. And I mean, you've been such a great example for the kids too, because you have done those things every time that something didn't align up with what your thought process was for this. You always showed them by example and left that situation and got into something better. So I'm excited for what you're doing with Compass. I'm excited for your team. I'm excited for this year so far. I mean, it's just a phenomenal month. January was phenomenal, so I'm excited for you.
Well, thank you. I'm excited for you. You're digging in your stuff and kind of looking at your numbers and what. And we made a lot of changes too. So part of part of fixing your problem is identifying mm-hmm. that you have a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So we had a problem, you know, just as far as keeping tabs on certain things and just the management aspect of things. So she's really digging in to her business, going in, day out.
And it's been kind of fun working with you, figuring that out too, because we both have different, I don't know if they're learning styles, but ways of gathering information, I guess.
Yeah, I figured that out the other day.
It's been kind of fun, and I'm glad that we're finally clicking.
Yeah, it's not too late either. So mm-hmm. it's never too late. So, but it happens though. Sometimes you gotta get heated in the situation to figure out what the deal is. Mm-hmm. Because you get, and that's okay too, right? So it's like, you know, you can be passionate about certain things mm-hmm. as long as you're working in the right direction, as long as you're both working on the same thing.
Yep.
And your heart and your mind and everything is aligned on where you're trying to go. It's okay to get mad and get upset and get passionate about what you're trying to say. It's okay. Right?
Yep, exactly.
So, all right, cool. Well, we'll catch up soon, and thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.